Let me invite those who can to stand with me this morning as we read the gospel lesson. It comes from Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. Hear then God's word. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let's pray together. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Call us just as you called Bartimaeus. And open the eyes of our hearts by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let's be seated together. It's great to be back with you. And thank you so much for your prayers for us while we were on this break. As you know, some portion of that was spent in northwest Montana up near Glacier Park. We spent most of the time wandering around slack-jawed, just gazing at the mountains and the rivers, the amazing scenery that was around, and the wildlife. We did see a large black bear. Thankfully, the black bear did not see us. And so we remain in your fellowship. We of course, the entire time we're looking at all of these things, are saying to one another, how can we possibly tell everybody the beauty and the wonder that we're seeing? It's just impossible to begin to relate how wonderful all of this is. And yet, beauty beheld begs to be shared. When we see something wonderful, we find our hearts enticed. One of my favorite cookbooks is, first, we eat with our eyes. Amen. Of course, sometimes our eyes prove to be bigger than our stomachs. But when we see something beautiful, it can transform us and change us. I'll never forget the very first time I saw Tony in the last century. It was 1979, and we were 20 years old, and I saw her. She came out of a crowd of other people, and she was wearing this blue sorority sweatshirt and blue jeans and white pumps. And when I saw her, I said what Adam said when he saw Eve. He said, whoa, man. And woman. And I said, I was only 20. I knew I wasn't supposed to really get married until I was about 25. And so I just said, Lord, when the time's right, I'll take one of those. But the Lord was wise. I got married long before I was 25. It's good because by the time I was 25, I was bald and she'd have lost interest. When we are seeing something wonderful and beautiful, we want to share it with everyone we know. Imagine not being able to see anything at all, having very little to share. And that's the situation for Bartimaeus there at the city gates in Jericho. Jesus has come into his city, and this blind man now knows that Jesus, who's been ministering in this city, he's heard about Jesus, is leaving. Jesus is heading off down the road. This is probably his last opportunity to get the attention of the one who might help him recover his sight. Don't miss that point. This is not a man who had never seen. This is a man who had once seen and now could see no longer. In his request of the Lord, he says, Jesus, I want to recover my sight. I need to get my vision back. I need to have restored to me what was once wonderful, beautiful. I've lost my vision. Lord, I need my vision back. is a prayer every Christian can pray. It's something for all of us. And that's why over the next few weeks we'll sit with Bartimaeus here at the gate of Jericho. And we'll cry out with him that the Lord would have mercy on us. Jesus is going by. He's leaving the city. And so Bartimaeus begins to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And of course, Jesus is an important person. He's been teaching in their city. He's famous. He's renowned. And all the people have this blind beggar sitting there, making all this racket. However, tragic and terrible blindness remains to this day. It was far more so in the ancient world, and far more prevalent too, without the treatment which is so often available to our generation. Matter encrusted eyes swarmed by flies and other insects. A person sat at the gates of the city reduced to begging, unable to have any living at all, and often regarded as cursed by those who knew them. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It's his last chance. And all the people don't want this cursed beggar getting Jesus' attention. They want him to have a good sense of their city as he makes his exit. "Be quiet. Hush." And as he's told to be quiet, this man begins to cry out even louder. He's desperate. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He's making more noise than is really seemly. This guy's the patron saint of Pentecostals. I love this guy. "Jesus!" And Jesus says, "Stop. Call him to me." And Jesus summons this man. He throws away his cloak. He comes to Jesus. And then Jesus asks him the most interesting question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" You'd think it was obvious. He's blind. But he has to become, at this point, not just a person in need, but a real follower of Jesus. Let's pick it up at the end of the story. It says that he recovered his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. Jesus was leaving Jericho, and where was he going? He was going to Jerusalem. More about this in a couple of Sundays, but he's leaving Jericho and he's on the way to Jerusalem where he's going to be crucified, where he's going to be killed. He's been telling the disciples all about this. He's been telling them he's going to Jerusalem and going to be killed. And that discourse is bookended by two episodes of people with blind eyes having them open. This is the second one. And between both of those, Jesus says things to his disciples like, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed there, handed over to the Gentiles, and I'm going to be killed. And then on the third day, I'm going to rise again." And to this, the disciples usually say something like, "Oh." So we were having this discussion about which one of us was the greatest. In other words, they don't see anything. They don't get it. They're the most blind people around. And so here's Bartimaeus. He's going to become a Jesus follower. He's going to become a disciple. He's going to become one who follows after Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be a Jesus follower. In our modern era, people think of folks as Christians, and then there are those who take it really seriously, and they're like disciples. Like, they're really serious. But actually, in the ancient world, there were disciples, and the disciples were called Christians. And that, not by other believers, but by the non-believers. You are Christians. Beloved, to be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus, to go after him wherever he's going. And that's where Bartimaeus ends up. But it starts with him admitting what he needs. "Lord, I need my vision back. I need to recover my sight." The first mark of a disciple is to confess our blindness, that we are people who are in the dark. We don't begin a relationship with God by telling him what we know and what we think, by telling him the light that we have. Whenever God moves beginning in the dark. That's the whole beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And then God said, "Let there be light." It's why when God records the pattern of the days, it says there was evening and there was morning. one day. That's not how you and I would speak. We would have said there was morning and there was evening. But in God's economy, things begin in the night. Things begin in the dark. That's where light begins to break out. That's why Jesus' whole arrival, the Messiah being born, is seen by the prophet Malachi as the rising of the sun, the dawning of a whole new day, the whole world lying in darkness. That's why Paul says to us as Christians, as you heard in Ephesians today, that we are no longer children of darkness, we're children of the light. We're called to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, to no longer be people of darkness. But we do start in the dark. That is where we begin. We begin in the darkness of our idols and our sinful passions. That's why when Jesus began his ministry, he said he came to preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, and open blind eyes. It's why as he goes through his ministry, he's healing paralytics, opening closed ears, opening stopped mouths, and healing blind eyes. All of these things are pictures of what Israel's essential problem, their real darkness is. You read it this morning in Psalm 115, all about the idols. They have mouths, but they can't what? They can't speak. They got ears, but they can't hear. They've got eyes, but they can't see. But listen to what the psalmist said. So are all those who trust them. If you become an idol worshiper, you become like the one you worship. You'll have eyes, but can't see. You'll have ears, but can't hear. You'll have a mouth that can't speak. You'll have hands, but they don't move. You'll have feet, but you can't walk. You become like whatever you worship. And so all of Israel has been trapped by its idolatry. Joshua had stood before Israel, you heard it in the Old Testament lesson, and said to them, forsake your idols. As for me and my house, he said, we'll serve the Lord. And Israel said, we're going to forsake all the idols. But they never did. And eventually over the centuries, all of the paralysis of all of that idolatry settled in. Now, here comes the real Joshua. Here comes the ultimate Joshua. It's the same name, Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua. It's all the same name. Here's the real Joshua coming on the scene. He's really driving out the enemies. He's really overthrowing the darkness. He's not only doing that, he's healing the effects of all of those centuries of idolatry. He's opening the blind eyes. He's healing the lame. He's showing that God is the living God, the God who speaks, the God who never slumbers or sleeps, the God who speaks and hears and sees, the God who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all. And he's called us into relationship with this God, opening our eyes. Real disciples admit their darkness. Real disciples start with confessing their blindness. You don't want to start with God telling him what you see. There's a man who became a disciple of Jesus, but Jesus had to get him to the dark. Saul, on the road to Damascus, had to be brought to blindness before he could see. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and the scriptures say in John 3 that he came to Jesus by night. By night. And listen to this, it's a great conversation. Listen to how Nicodemus starts his talk with Jesus. He comes up to Jesus and says, now Lord, we know. Now can I just suggest that if you're going to have a conversation with God, you don't begin it by saying what you know. Lord, we know that you're a man sent from God. And then Jesus says to him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus goes, what? Can a man get back in his mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus says, oh, you don't understand these things? You're the teacher of Israel and you don't get it? He has to bring him to the place of admitting, I don't get it. I don't know. We have to come to the place as really being Jesus followers that says, we don't get it. We do have darkness. We don't see. Lord, I don't understand. We don't begin by telling God what we know. We begin by confessing our need for him to open our eyes, to lead us from darkness to light. When Jesus touched him, when Jesus spoke to him, he said, your faith has made you whole. And immediately his eyes, the text says, were opened. It's an amazing thing when you haven't seen and suddenly you can. While we were visiting with family, Tony had the opportunity to help her father through two cataract surgeries over the last month. And as I sat and talked with him, he shared about how wonderful it was to finally see colors again. to see faces clearly again, to see things he thought he would never see again. The amazing thing about this man is that not only he had his sight restored, but imagine this. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately his eyes were opened, the text says. And when his eyes opened and the darkness disappeared, imagine this, the very first person he saw was Jesus. Can you imagine that? The very first eyes that you looked into after seeing nothing for decades were the eyes of Jesus. The first thing you saw was the beauty of the Savior. Real disciples have Jesus as their vision. Sometimes people will ask me, what's the vision of Redeemer? Or what's your vision? The vision of Redeemer and my vision is Jesus. What's your vision? Jesus. Well, could you be a little bit more specific? No, not really. Because if our eyes are captured by the beauty of the Son of God, if we, with unveiled faces, are beholding the beauty of the Son of God, then Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, we'll be transformed, we'll become like Him, we'll see Him and be like Him. You will become like the one you worship. You'll become either as hard as coinage, as perverted as power, or as loving as the God of all grace. It all comes down to who you worship. It all comes down to who you see and give your eyes to. And the truth is that one day, every single one of us, no matter how well we see right now, will have our eyes closed by death. We will close them. And then, they will open. After death has closed our eyes will be opened. And they will, like Bartimaeus on that day, see Jesus. They will see Him. Your eyes will see Him. You want to see Him smile. And you want to hear Him say on that day, well done, good and faithful servant. And the only way that that can be true is by right now putting your trust in Him. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. I feel no comfort in those words because my heart's not pure. But my comfort is not in the state of my heart, but in the sufficiency of the grace of the one who died for me on the cross, and who will open my eyes to see His beauty, and who today calls me His child, and who will welcome me into eternity, not because of anything I have done, but because of everything that He has done. And even the faith you have in Him is a gift that He gives you. And so, beloved, I call you to recognize the darkness of sin that's in all of us, and to say with Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when He opens your eyes, to see Him, and having seen Him, to follow Him on the road, and be His disciple the rest of your days. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come into my darkness with your light and your life. Banish my blindness and open my eyes to the beauty of who you are, so that seeing your loveliness, I might follow you all my days. And for this, I give you praise and thanks. Amen.